That music can mean only one thing. The circus is in town. Mark McKinnon joins us from the TV show The Circus, the best half hour of television, I think, any given week, anytime it's on, especially if you're into what's happening in the on the planet Earth, because it's pretty crazy stuff. Last week, you know, there were moments last week. First of all, you were all over the world last week trying to get the pieces together for the Sunday show, last Sunday show. We'll talk about what's coming up in a second. But you know, there were some weird moments with Roger Stone. Right? Because Roger Stone had a press conference that was lightly attended by, like, the mainstream, like, you know, the major players weren't there live, but you guys were there, that InfoWars was putting on.
Right, wasn't that bizarre?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they only invited, like, a select weird group of press, and I wasn't sure why, who went, but there's an interesting component of that, and one is that after I did that interview with Roger, what I was trying to do is get into his head a little bit and ask some questions that people hadn't asked before. And it, to me, he seemed, you know, there seemed to be a side of him that looked, you know, the notion of prison looming is definitely on his mind.
Yeah.
But the more important thing and the reason for that press conference is he's trying to raise money. He's got $2 million in legal fees. The IRS is after him for $1.5 million. He owns nothing, and so, you know, minimally he's in debt $4 million, and he's desperate. And part of the reason for that press conference is there was a bunch of, you know, GoFundMe, you know, RogerStoneDefenseFund.com, and he got really mad at me. He said we kicked him in the teeth because we blurred out the website, which we have to do for anybody. We do it on Kamala Harris's when she announced. It's just a legal thing with our lawyers on Showtime. We can't show any website that's raising political money, so... Mm-hmm. And he got really upset about it. But that also made me realize just that the whole reason he did that whole thing was to raise money.
Yeah. He seemed very resigned to the fact that this is going to be a struggle and that he didn't want to go there when you're like, all right, hey, are you ready to go to prison? Because you were trying to get to the bravado of him, that whole notion with Roger Stone of, like, you know, he's tough and he's going to stand up there and he's going to do the right thing and he's not going to be, you know, he's telling
it's going to be the martyr. It's going to be the G. Gordon Liddy. Yeah.
Right. He wants to be that. And then you got to that and he was like, listen, I don't want to even think about that. I want to think about positive things. And it was like, it was a little bit of a Roger Stone that we had not seen before. Although he still does dress like a Batman villain and I don't understand why he thinks that's a good look for him or that is that's going to confer some sort of sympathy for him because it's not. All right. You got to Hillary.
You shouldn't be wearing that if you're trying to raise money.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
You got to Hillary Clinton, and this is interesting. How did that happen?
Well, just kind of out of the blue, really. Alex has a really good relationship with her, and we've been wanting to talk to her for a while. And so Alex saw some of her people a week ago or so and said, hey, listen, we really want to talk to her. And then we heard that she was in town, and Alex just emailed and said, hey, we're here, you're here, let's do it. And they said, okay, let's go.
I thought
it
was kind of, walk...
you know, I thought it was interesting because we haven't seen her on TV much in a while.
That's absolutely true.
So,
she's active on the Twitter, so but Alex... she's not necessarily, you don't see a sit-down interview with her all that often.
And so Alex had a little interchange with her.
I just don't think you should call national emergencies unless there truly is a national emergency. There's no national emergency at our border. And he's frustrated because he can't even convince his own party to support his requests. And he shouldn't be breaking new ground and causing new precedents that, you know, really could come back to not only haunt him, but haunt our country. So he should go through regular order. He couldn't get Congress when he had Republican control. If he can't get it now, then work with Congress. Every Democrat, every Republican wants to do what is right to secure our border. They disagree with his demand that there's only one way to do that.
Okay. Is she prepared to go to jail? Did Alex talk to her about that? I mean, where are we on the lock her up piece?
Yeah, well, she may be, you know, thinking, watching all that's going on, that maybe she's not so upset that she's not there now, because she'd probably be going through the same thing with the Republicans, just, you know, that are good Democrats are doing to Trump, so...
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
what am I saying? She's a Clinton. Of course she wants to be in the White House.
Right, that's true. But aren't you, are you worried that we are now doomed to repeat this over and over and over again, no matter who the president is, whether it's...
Yeah, it sure feels like it. I mean, the Whitaker hearings today for this, you know, we're just such a partisan food fight back and forth. There was no nuance at all. It was just everybody doing their talking points. It was just ridiculous.
And then, oh boy, there was some faked up emotion in that thing too, man. There were people who were just sitting there totally calm. And then when they got their 5 minutes, they were like, I can't believe what you just did. Or the indignation in the Republicans, like, I cannot believe the people would bring, would drag you in front of us. Yeah, you know, exactly what Republicans have been doing when they were running. The 3 weeks ago, that's what they were doing. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, one of the interesting scenes from the show for the Sunday is going to be John got with Representative Swalwell, who's on that committee, and really got behind the scenes with him and watched him prepare. And again, talked about the whole thing about, you know, I have 300 seconds. I'm like the 18th person in line to ask a question, and just got some kind of interesting behind the scenes stuff about how that all works.
Well, it was funny because Swalwell gets stopped in the middle of his questioning, right at the very beginning. A guy did a point of order, Chairman. And then when they were calling the point of order, the guy was like, well, if you would just ask a question instead of running for president, we wouldn't have this problem. To Swalwell, and you're watching these guys. I know that we always say this, the House is the raucous, boisterous chamber, right, of the legislature, and so we expect it to be a little more, you know, cantankerous. But this is just stupid. I mean, first of all, they're asking this guy. The only reason they brought him up there was to see if they could get something out of him that would show that he was colluding with the White House,
right.
So you know, to try to stop Mueller, because he's going to be out of a job in a week. It won't matter in a week what he's doing.
Great point.
So,
by the way, you are such a political nerd. You were actually watching these hearings.
I know. I couldn't stop. Mark, I got to tell you,
you're a sick man.
I turned on the TV and it was like on. I go, okay, I'm not going to watch this. I'm going to continue doing email and do
other
stuff.
Telling yourself that.
And I just stopped and I could not. I got nothing done this morning because I'm watching this and I'm worried about the United States of America because Republicans and Democrats all I could think of is they just see themselves as blue or red. They do not see themselves as nuanced people. And this is a moment when John Dingell died, right?
Yeah.
John Dingell, who'd been longest serving congressman of all times. And they had apparently some sort of a conversation this morning. There was some sort of a memorial to him this morning about how he was a bipartisan guy. He was a Democrat, but he worked with Republicans on a lot of different things. He was pro-union, but he was also pro-auto industry and all that. And it was... And they, we have to be more like that. I don't think we'll ever get back to that.
Yeah, he dictated some words to his wife just before he died that are now in the, I think, Washington Post op. They turned into an op-ed piece this afternoon, and he just talks about, have the wisdom to understand the responsibility you hold in your hands. And he speaks exactly to that point, Ro, that you're talking about, the bipartisan sort of feeling of remember you're representing Americans and the things that you need to accomplish.
All those folks are going, McCain's, the Dingles, it's just, and there's nobody replacing them.
Yeah. Do you think Meghan McCain will, you're obviously very close, you were very close with John McCain. Do you get the sense that Meghan McCain is going to run for the Senate in 2022?
She might, I just noticed that she's got that chromosome, so at some point she'd definitely like to do it if there's an opportunity, no question about it.
Yeah. She's definitely pugilistic like her dad, though. I mean, that's a funny thing. She like her dad, there isn't a fight in the room. And she'll walk in. It's like going into the bar, totally calm, Fern Bar. Everybody's fine. Uh-huh. Everybody's got Amex platinum cards. And she wants to go punch a guy and throw him through the window. And it's like, wait, this is not a saloon. It's like she just
she's ready to go.
She's like that. So it would be very interesting to watch. All right. So you got Hillary Clinton on Sunday in the circus. Any other surprises you can share with us?
Sally Yates, who's, always interesting. I think she's a fascinating woman. She's got a lot of interesting perspectives as a former acting attorney general herself on all that's going on. So in Swalwell, we got Julian Castro and some surprises.
I think there are too many people that are acting like they're running for president. There are just too many.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm really uncomfortable the way that, especially with the way CNN is behaving right now. CNN is acting like every single one of these, like when Kamala Harris came out, they had to do
the countdown clock.
The countdown clock to her.
They did a town hall.
Yeah, to her town hall.
Right.
It's like they're trying to anoint people already. And I just, let the process play out. I get it. It's television. That's their job now.
But you know what, Ro? You know what they told me? They said it's the most watched town hall they've ever done.
Oh, interesting.
I saw that.
Which was really surprising.
I saw that
stat. But it just
testifies
to how much interest there is in 2020 already.
Yeah. I think that that's all very bad news for the president. I really do. I think people are pretty tired of him right now. And they're like, what? What else is there? But we'll see. But Democrats, you know, Mark, you know this as well as anybody as a Republican operative for many, many years. You get this. Democrats always can find a way to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory.
This week was actually the first time that I thought, you know what? He could win again. You know, when you got AOC and these people starting to talk about, you know, literally talk about socialism and give Trump that wedge.
Yeah.
And Elizabeth Warren.
Just, for the first time,
I'm
going, you know what? They could screw this up again.
Yeah. Without question. All right, Mark. We'll see you Sunday. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Mark.
All right. Kick it hard. Thanks. Right, bye-bye.
Mark McKinnon. See the circus Sunday on Showtime. Let's check out now Kim Gordon. She's in the WGN newsroom. What's coming up at the top of the hour?
Roe, the word of the day on Capitol Hill, witch hunt. We'll tell you why.